Standing here before you again and bringing the word of God to you, which is very exciting. I was singing some of those songs just now, thinking sometimes on occasion people ask me, what's your favourite hymn or what's your favourite song, whatever, and it's so hard, it's really, really hard for me to choose a favourite. I think, I don't know, perhaps as I'm getting older, maybe, I don't know, but I just feel that some of the sort of, we hear some of the modern worship music and things that go on today, and that's exactly what it is, it's worship and it's adoration and it's, you know, it was happy and exciting. That's all good stuff. But it's the older hymns that really hold the sort of the words and the real emotion behind it. And speaking of the cross and what Jesus went through and of all the love that endures forevermore. And it's just, yeah, it's really, really powerful songs. I think sometimes we sing them and don't read the lyrics, but yeah, that's nothing to do with methods. It's just what I mentioned. It's really good. So, for those online or those who don't know me particularly well, those who do know me will know to keep harping on about it all the time. One of my extracurricular activities, sort of outside of work, some of the things, I won't say activity much anymore, more of a passing interest, I guess, really, is climbing mountains. That's all well and good. I prefer the mountains with white tops, sort of snow and ice and big high ones, things like the French Alps, that type of scenario. Now, the trouble with doing that sort of thing is, apart from it being inherently expensive, it's really, really complicated. You can't just rock up to a mountain of that caliber, say, right, I'm going to the top today because I fancy a walk. This is not going to work. At worst, you're going to come away cold. At best, you're going to come away cold. At worst, it's life-threatening. So I need to know all sorts of things before I go. I need to know what's the terrain I'm going to be going over. Am I going to ice? Is it going to be rocks? Is it going to be gravel? What terrain am I going to be going over? What do I need to take with me in terms of equipment? And you see these sort of Instagram hero photos with the axes in the air, but you know, these ice axes have a purpose. And the big spikes on the bottom of your feet, they have a purpose. So I need to know what equipment I'm going to take with me. I need to know who am I going to surround myself with, because I can't go on my own. It's way too dangerous. There's whopping great gaps in the ice called crevasses, and there's avalanche risk and all this sort of stuff. But one of the key ingredients in everything is I have to have the absolute confidence and the absolute clear, without a shadow of a doubt, confidence in what I'm doing. I can, my ability to see it through, to achieve the goal or wherever I'm going, and to see the outcome. And alongside that, I need to know the ability of people around me. The last thing, if I'm kicking snow steps at the side of a glacier or wherever it may be, the last thing I want to be thinking about is, does the, you know, person on the end of this rope, do they know what they're doing? If I slip, if I put a foot wrong, are they going to be able to catch me? Do they know enough about where they are to point out the obstacles in the way? And that all sounds very dramatic and exciting, but that's the exact same thought process, the exact same thinking that I put into my spiritual walk, my Christian walk. I have to have the exact confidence. I have to have that optimal confidence that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm making the right decisions, that I'm walking the right way. I have to be sure I've got the right people around me. I said before, you will become whoever you surround yourself with. You go out into the world, you will eventually become part of the world. You know, people become who they are. You go into a profession, any profession, and you end up getting good at it because you practice in the profession, obviously, but you're surrounding yourself with people with knowledge and experience in that particular profession. So surely, to be a better Christian, to grow in your faith, to just exist as a Christian, surely it's best to surround yourself with like-minded people. Surely it's best to surround yourself with Christian people. And that's the exact same thought process that I take into my sort of spiritual walk, I guess. Am I moving in the right way? Am I doing the right thing? Have I got the confidence and the knowledge to know this is God's will and purpose? But what does that mean today, I wonder? What does that mean for us as Christians in this world today? With everything that's been thrown our way, everything we see and hear, how can we be absolutely confident, let me sound slightly heretical, how can we be absolutely confident that God is still moving? How can we be absolutely certain in our own mind that we're doing the right thing for the Lord? Now, as many of you know, I've just about started out on this sort of speaking journey or whatever sort of label you want to give it. So in true fashion, I'm on stage two now, so I've got 4 points. Four simple, quick points. Just to think about what is confidence in God. I know it should be 3 points because it's a Baptist church, but like I say, I'm just starting out, so it's 4 points. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Jeremiah 17, and I'm going to go 7 and 8. Yeah. Just the two verses in this particular section. It's Jeremiah 17. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but the leaf, her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." It sounds very dramatic when you read it like that. It's very sort of symbolic and very much of the time, I guess, really. But all it's really saying is, if you trust in the Lord, if you just put your complete and total faith in him, which is a really hard thing to do, I understand, that you'll receive such a blessing, and you'll receive such confidence, and you'll grow, and you'll prosper, and you know, trees in, back in the day, when they were talking about this sort of thing, they wouldn't have to worry about drought, because it was so confident that the Lord would provide. And it would bear fruit, despite the drought, because it was so confident the Lord would provide. You see, God's word is given to us, so we can know what's right, what's wrong, the way to go, decisions we should make, how we should be, as how we should live as a Christian. It's all in God's word. But God also gave each of us a mind. He gave us a mind to think, gave us a mind to make our own decisions. And he wants us to think the right things. Of course he does. He wants us to do the right things, absolutely. But we can only do this by reading his word, by digesting what he says, by taking what he says and applying it to our lives. We spoke a little bit about this morning. We can read verses day in, day out. We can know the Bible back to front. But unless we actually do something with it, it's only really sort of part of the journey, really. When we come to church, we can come in week in, week out. We can hear God's message. We can hear what he wants us to do. We can hear how he wants us to shape, how he wants to shape our lives, how he wants to be part of everything. We can hear all this and take it all in, and it's all really good. He wants to guide us through this thing called life. Really fantastic. But I wonder sometimes, do we go away? Do we sometimes, in the depths when we're really in a bad place, and we're going through real struggles, and we're just thinking, why can't he hear me? Can he really hear me? Will he really help me in this situation? Will he really help me in this problem? Does he really understand where I'm coming from? Does God really, is he actually watching over me at this point in time? So how do we get the confidence then when we step out for the Lord, when we're going through these trials and tribulations? How can we know that God's there next to us all the time? How can we be faithful and true to that sort of feeling, I guess? How do we know he's with us? How do you know he's going to catch us when we slip? How do you know that he will remove those obstacles we face? See, I mentioned this morning, God, you remember, God is this all amazing Lord. Sometimes we become a bit flippant, don't we? We become, oh yeah, thank you Lord for this, praise the Lord for that, praise the Lord. God is omnipresent, and he's huge, he's everywhere, and he created everything, and he's holier than holy. And we should treat him with a reverence. I think Pastor mentioned it last week, maybe the week before, maybe on a Wednesday, I can't remember. Anyway, he said, God is our friend, God is our father, but God is not our buddy, I think is what he mentioned. We should have a reverence for the Lord. We should have almost a fearful reverence, because he is holy, is holy. Yet he wants us to treat him as a father, as a friend, as a brother, as somebody who wants to be part of our lives. And that's really hard to get your head around. Someone of that scale, who created so much, still wants to see us as individuals and wants to work with us as individuals. Trouble is, we're human. Human. Whenever issues come along, human nature takes over, doesn't it? And you think, right, I got a problem here. What's the very first thing you think? How can I get over it? What do I need to do? What are the steps I need to take? How am I going to get around this? I, all the time. How am I going to sort this out? And we chip away, and we bang away at things, and we try and find out solutions to problems, and it's a struggle, and we think, oh, I can't get this, I don't understand this, and then suddenly we have a breakthrough or something happens. See, we are going to face issues, and we are going to face problems. That's the fact of life. Doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to have issues and problems, and there's going to be bumps in the road. But it's how we react to those problems that defines us. Do we just take them on, head on, say, I'm going to do all the worldly things, I'm going to solve this on my own, I'm a hero, I can do it. And do we become frustrated? Do we become dissatisfied when things don't quite work out like we thought? How often I wonder, do we say, right, I'm going to sort this problem, it'll be fine, I'll sort it all on myself, and you struggle and you bash through and you say, God, where are you? Do we face them on our own, uncertain, insecure, or do we take our problems and our trials and our tribulations to God in the first place, in the first instance? Do we include him in everything we do? Do we take our trials to him with a full and certain knowledge that not only will he hear us, but he will answer us, and he will never, ever give us anything we can't manage on our own? Wouldn't it be easier perhaps to take it to him in the first place without having to go through all those trials and tribulations by ourselves? Wouldn't it be easier perhaps to say, Lord, please help me? But we don't. We leave it right to the next last minute, and then we try and go through, and then something doesn't work, and then this isn't right, and then there's something in the back of your mind constantly saying, if you're anything like me at least, what if? What if he can't? What if he won't? What if he doesn't? What if he's not actually going to help me at all? What if? God will always walk with us. That's not, obviously, that's not God saying what if. That's the devil chugging away at the back of your head saying, what if? What if you just cracked on your own? What if God actually has washed his hands of you? What if this is trial is because you've done X, Y, Z? What if? God will always walk with us. Always. Even when we ignore him. Even when we don't turn to him. Even when we're trying to do these things on our own. He's desperate to help us out. If only we'd let him. If only we'd let him in. If only we'd turn to him, ask him for help, ask him for guidance, ask him to make the right decisions in certain things we've got to do. We have to make throughout life. We have to make big decisions at certain times. Let's invite God in. Let's ask him to help us to make the right thing. Let's not make the right decision on our own and then find out the consequence later on. He's not going to physically fight our battles for us. He's not going to send thunder and lightning down on our enemies or anything like that. At least I don't think he will. But he will never leave us. He will never leave us, and he will always protect us from any real harm. He will always have his arms of protection around us, and he will always be walking beside us. The trouble is we've got to let him, and that's the difficult bit. The difficult bit is saying, Lord, I've got a problem, I need your help. The difficult bit is saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. The difficult bit is saying, you know what? I think this is right, but I need your guidance. Because it's a feeling of self-admission, actually. No, I can't do this by myself. I do need some more help. I do need God's inspirational hand in this. And it's self-admission, and we don't like that sort of thing, because it's in the world, this weakness. In the world, this, why do you need anybody help to help? Why do you need anyone else to help you along? That's just weak and meaningless and pointless and ridiculous. Of course, as a Christian, we know that God will serve all our needs and meet everything we ever need. We've got to understand as well that he will help us out, but it's not always going to be the way we understand. It's not, outcomes are not always going to be the outcomes we want. Answers are not always going to be the answers we like. But we look beyond that and we see that it's God at work, and God is shaping us through all these things we go through. God is directing us and helping us to grow and prosper. Sometimes, I mentioned this morning, hindsight is wonderful. Everyone's common saying hindsight is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. It's brilliant. Sometimes it's not until you've gone through a situation and you've grown from it and you've learned from it and you've experienced something and you've developed and you're feeling better and stronger and more sort of grown in it, if you like. It's not until you look back on that you think, I can see now where God was carrying me. I can see where God was lifting me. I can see this. I can see that. It's not until you look back. It's a classic... it's not really a poem, it's more of a few lines, isn't it? Footprints, and we've come across footprints before, where it talks about footprints in the sand, and the traveller looks back and he says, I can only see one set of footprints. Why weren't you there with me, Lord? Why can I only see one footprint? And then, obviously, God turns around and says, that's when I carried you. You see, we look back and we see the worst. We never see what God sees. We never look at the big picture. We never understand sometimes what it is that God is doing until... we speak with him until we engage with him. So what else is, how else can we grow in our confidence? So confidence, point two, is in God, is knowing that he hears me and he answers my prayers. Now that's a simple thing, isn't it? That's almost Christianity 101. God hears me and answers my prayers. So why is it then, sometimes you say, God's not listening. Sometimes you say, God can't hear me. Sometimes you say, why, oh, why, oh, why? I've been praying like this for months and months and months. Nothing's happening. God must have closed his door to me or something. And the Bible is our guidebook for life. Mr. Luke's message this morning, the acronym, for those who didn't hear it, is a wonderful acronym for Bible, which I've instantly forgotten. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That just sums it up completely and totally. I've changed that to Allible, all instructions before leaving Earth. But you get the point. The Bible is our guidebook for life. Like it or not, all these pages, every single one, has something for us. Has a message, has a decision, has an answer, has some insight into our life. Every single message, right from Genesis 1 all the way through. I know a lot of people will say, oh yeah, Old Testament doesn't really apply to me, but it applies. Why was it written? Why is it in the Bible if it doesn't apply to you? Why is it there? Why is half the Bible Old Testament if it doesn't apply to us? It completely applies to us. The whole Bible applies to everything we do. And it's through him and through the Bible that we hear God speaking to us. It'll give us the answers we need for any situation we face at all. Anything in life, all the answers can be found in the Bible. So why is it sometimes when you refer to it as a last resort? Why is it we go find a problem, we find an obstacle, there's something in the way, we're chipping away, we're chipping away, we're chipping away, we're chipping away, and it's not happening, there's nothing happening. Oh, what does the Bible say? If we've accepted Christ as our own personal Saviour, if we've gone to the cross, if we've understood and confessed our sins, if we've accepted that Christ died for our sins, if we have the love of God in our life, and God's looking out for us. He's for us. He's with us. He's standing next to us. How do we grow in confidence and take God at his word? How do we trust him, totally trust him in every single way to help us out? Put in a bit of context. What if any one of us got a very basic Christian-type question fired at us from a work, college, whatever social group you move around in? What if somebody came up to you and said, why do you go to church? Fair question. Perhaps a simple question. Why do you go to church? What would our response be, I wonder? Maybe it would be different depending on who you're speaking to. It probably would be for me, I think. Maybe it would be, well, because it's nice. You know, beats watching the telly on a Sunday morning. Beats having to sort the lunch out, whatever it might be. Beats cleaning the house, whatever the excuse is. It's nice. Gives me a bit of a nice buzz. Or maybe, is it because there's a few good people there? A few people I get on with? A few oddballs, depending on the building you're in. But generally, yeah. It's nice to see a few people week in, week out. Bit of contact, that sort of thing. Is it, gives me a nice feeling to go into the week ahead? That's a good one. That's always a good one that comes out every now and again. Makes me feel nice. Makes me feel good being here on a Sunday. Peps me up for the week. All of the above is valid. All of the above is perfectly acceptable and true. But why is it so hard? And I speak from experience. Why is it so difficult just to say, I go to church because I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who hears me and answers every single prayer, every single day, and will help me overcome anything I face? Because in those two lines, that pretty much sums up the whole reason for coming to church. That pretty much sums up what a Christian life should look like. We've been through recently, we've been through a good couple of months of witnessing and how and why and where and all that sort of thing. Why is it so hard to say, because I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Four words and nobody else, they get it. That would be all you need to witness to someone. But it's really hard. It's really hard. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. Again, very famous psalm. I'm sure we've read it over and over. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, How often do we read this over and over and over again? But what is it actually saying? God is our refuge and strength. That's all you need to know. If you're going through trials, if you're going through problems, if you're going through there's things in the way, and you've got hassles in life, don't leave it to the last minute to go to God. Don't thumb your way through the Bible without really reading anything. Take your problems to him. Take your issues to him, because he is a very present help in times of trouble. Constantly, always with us. Now, there are loads of scholars and clever people and all sorts of people in the world that know the Bible inside out, back to front, and just completely know it word for word almost. There are some that understand what it means. But there are not so many that will actually think on it, act on it, respond to it, and take it to heart. You see, that's the difference. I know people that are incredibly clever, but have no faith whatsoever. The difference between growing and having confidence in God and just knowing is huge. You can know the Bible, but unless you do something with it, unless you take it to God, unless you read it and use it as well as speaking to God, then it's only part of the journey. It's only half the effort. If God's going to be for us collectively, as a group, as a family, as a church, as an outreach, as people in the world, he's for us. He's for us individually, each and every one of us, in our own situations, our own circumstances. Wherever we are, God is with us. So we know, you know, life isn't going to be rosy. You're going to find obstacles. You're going to find bumps. You're going to find issues along the way. That's a fact of life. You're not going to get away from that. We know God loves us, each and every one of us. So why do we face these things? How can we be confident that when we're going through these things, God is with us? So if we take the time, we can find all the answers we need. And if we take the time to speak to God, he will respond and he will answer our calls. Don't read the Bible out of obligation. Don't read the Bible because you think you probably should. Don't read the Bible because someone told you to. Read the Bible because that's what God's speaking to you through. Take it to heart. Understand what it says and apply it to your lives. Confidence in God is knowing that he'll help me to help myself. And when I was growing up, I hated that word. I was speaking to teachers usually. Occasionally, I didn't speak to teachers much, but you speak to teachers. Parents used to say it. People in work say it now and again. Oh, I'm going to show you this to help yourself next time. No, I want you to do it for me. You know, that's not what I'm asking you for. Don't tell me you're going to show me to help me help myself. That's awful. Genesis 28:15, it says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Early on in Genesis, you know, right at the beginning of, not quite the beginning of time perhaps, but certainly right at the very start of time, God made it absolutely clear, crystal clear, without any confusion at all, "I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places, wherever you go." Put it in plain terms. It's as simple as that. God will never leave us. Once you've accepted him as your Saviour, God will never, ever leave your side, no matter what you're going through. Now, on occasion, it's quite easy, isn't it, to read something. Right, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to take this verse. I'm going to really, really do something with it. But you're looking at it through a different lens. You want to perhaps twist it maybe sometimes to the circumstance, certainly in the world today. The Bible is twisted in all manner of ways. There's loads of, well, churches, sadly, that will twist what the word says to match what they want. And the world itself, it doesn't have to be a church, will just take, but it says this in the Bible, so this must be what it means. Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It actually says something completely different. Sometimes it's very easy to sit in our own circumstances and say, I see what you're saying, but that's a bit too hard. I don't want to do that. It's too difficult. I tell you what, if God loves me so much, I'm just going to leave it to him. He'll sort it out. It'll be fine. That's the easy way out. Really easy way out. And God's not sat there. He's given, like I say, he's given us our own minds. He's given us our own sort of time to make our own decisions. He's not saying, "I'm going to do everything for you. You're not babies. You're not robots. I'm not going to push your buttons. You can do things for yourself. I just want you to do them with me. I want you to do them through me. I want you to do them for me. I want you to do them as I set out in the Bible. If we can do something ourselves, then surely we should do something ourselves. It's not really down to the Lord to do everything for us. I mean, he's always going to be there. He's always going to help us. Don't get me wrong. But we're to call on him and ask him for help. Not to call on him and ask him to do something for us, or to ask him for help so he can complete something. It's a different thing. Ask him for guidance, ask him for direction in whatever decisions we're making. I wonder how others see us. Even when we're walking out of an evening, when we switch the lights off, I wonder what others are thinking out in the street there, you know. Do they question what we do? Why are we running these clubs? Why are we running events in the week? What's that all about? Are they interested at all? I don't know. Do they question why we do it? Do they question how we do things? See, as Christians, we're called to love each other and carry each other's burdens along the way. And to show love to people, to show care to people, just to seek people out and help them with their own decisions and their own burdens. And that can be really hard. That can be one of the hardest things to do, especially when you go into your own valley and your own problems and your own situations. Sometimes it's like, you know what, I've got my own stuff to worry about. I can't be carrying you as well. I can't be dealing with your problems at the same time. It's difficult. It's really hard. How, though? How are we ever going to meet people where they are? How are we ever going to understand what people are going through unless we talk to them? Now, it can be easy sometimes. You know, you've got people coming up to you maybe saying, I've got this thing I need to deal with, what should I do? It's easy, isn't it, to say, you know, pray about it. Or trust in God, he'll help you out. Or have a look in the Bible, there's something in there about it. It's very easy to be offhand, very flippant, very just get on with it type of approach. For the most part, we will have no idea what somebody else is going through. How can we? We don't know what they face. We don't know what the situation is. We don't know what's best for them, really, if we don't hear them out. We don't know where they're coming from. God knows what's best for us. But he wants us to meet with him and allow him to be part of what we do. You know, when I was growing up, my parents knew exactly what was best for me. But they didn't force decisions on me. They let me make my own mind up about things. They gave me advice and they gave me direction and they gave me sort of pointed me in the right direction on things. But they never actually said, you must do this and you must do that. And God, as a spiritual father, is exactly the same. He's not here to say, robot X, go and do that. He's not pushing you in direction. He's not shoving you. He's not telling you, you have to be this and you have to do this. He's asking you. He's asking, make a decision with me. Live my life, live your life through me. Let me be part of it. So unless we respond to that, unless we actually do something with it, unless we apply that, it's not carrying any real power. Unless we have the confidence and the absolute certainty of who God is and what he's going to do in our lives, that's the point at when we can start to really grow and really prosper. He might not give us the answer we want. He may not even give us the answer we're looking for in 6 months' time. But he will respond in accordance with his will and purpose. And he will respond in accordance with his greater plan. And he will give us the direction. And his plan is the right plan. You know, you've got to have communication. You've got to be speaking to God. You've got to be engaging with God. Because otherwise, if you can't speak to him, how can you possibly hear from him? Put it in some context, I don't know. Think of someone you don't speak to very much. It could be someone in the church. We all have our own individual groups of people we engage with on fairly regularly. I wonder, you know, what are those people you don't speak to? What are they going through at the moment? What's their big issues in their lives? We don't know because we never speak to them. So how can we expect to hear from God if we don't speak to him? If we don't engage with him? That's where we're going to get our confidence from. The more we talk, the more we'll grow, the more we'll prosper, the more we'll develop confidence. I mean, it's the same with me and the whole mountain thing. You know, when I was out some peaks when I was younger, one of the first things I want to know is with people I'm going out with, I want to know where they come from, how they get to where they are. You know, I want to know what skills they're going to do, what they've got, what they can offer me. And I can do that by asking them. I know it sounds ridiculous to say it, but it's the same with God. If we want to have confidence that God will help us, if we want to have confidence that God will direct and lead and do all these things that it says in the Bible, if you want all that confidence that it will happen, you've got to talk with him. You've got to engage with him regularly, constantly, all the time, and invite him into the things we're doing. It's so much easier to trust people once you get to know them properly. And if we get to know God properly and really know where he's coming from, we'll have that confidence and we'll have that desire to walk his path. And his direction and his focus won't be burdensome. It won't feel like an obligation. It won't feel like, oh, I have to do this again today. Because we'll want to do it. And God will change our hearts and change our minds if we speak to him regularly, if we bring him into everything we do. When we ask for direction and focus, when we truly understand where he's coming from, that's when we can start to gain and grow confidence in what he's doing. So confidence in God is knowing that he's for me and not against me. Again, something very, very obvious, I guess, really, if you think about it. Back in Jeremiah in 29 verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You might read that and think, well, yeah, God is for me. Totally get that. Why, it seems very simplistic. Again, very basic. But God is saying, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord." And that in itself is all you need to know. God is for us. God's not against anybody. Even those that are walking away, even those that are walking down paths and moving away from him, God is for them. Let's not forget, while we were yet sinners, God saved us. Let's not forget, God was for us before we even knew who he was. God was for us before we knew who he was, and in some cases decided we didn't want anything to do with him. God was still for us. And God is for us now more than ever. When we hear the word, "God is watching over you," I wonder what that makes you feel like. You know, sometimes for me, I'm like, yeah, no. God is watching over me. And he sees every city, stupid thing, fall, trip, obstacle I do. He sees what I do. But, you know what? He doesn't chastise me. He picks me up. He dusts me down. And he sets me back on the path. Other times, I'm more like, yeah, you know what? God is watching over me. Not just that, but he's shaping me. He's directing me. He's preparing things in front of me. He's moving obstacles out of the way. God is for me, completely and totally, in all that I do. And that, by itself, has to be something worth celebrating. If you're in a place where you can't see the Lord, if you're in a place where you don't see how you can get out of a particular situation, understand that God is for you and he's right next to you and he will never ever give you anything you can't handle. You should take your troubles to him, take your trials to him, take your concerns to him. You may be having a good, having your best life at the moment, but you might have concerns about the future. You might have concerns about what's coming, what's going, what's happening. Anything at all, God wants to be part of it, and it's for you to take those concerns to him. Yes, God is thinking of me all the time, I get that. But he's also thinking, what do I need to do now? What do I need to know to move forward? What do I need to be protected from? And it's such a comfort to know that whatever I'm facing, I'm protected by the Lord. What he doesn't want, of course, is to be made irrelevant in the world. For us to think that we don't need to be any part of him. For us to think that we don't need him in our lives. For us to take on the world by ourselves. He's not going to stop us from making those decisions. He's not going to stop us from going our own way. He simply wants us to choose him to be part of it. The trouble with all this, of course, is stuff happens, isn't it? Life gets in the way. And we think, why? How? What have I done to deserve this? And sometimes, maybe worst of all, surely the Lord God can't be anywhere near me at the moment. He's dropped me in it. He's left me here. How am I going to get out of this mire on my own? Sometimes those thoughts happen, don't they? Sometimes they pop in and you think, ugh, how did I get here? And sometimes we're calling on God and there's nothing coming back and we're thinking, Lord, what's going on? So what happens then? You shrug our shoulders? Ugh, he's left me. I'm gone. I'm doomed. I'm finished. Walk away. Backslide. Do you throw a tantrum? I'm one for throwing tantrums at the Lord quite happily. You know, why? What's going on? What's happening? You blame God for everything. You've put me here. You've brought me to this place. I can't handle it. Why have you brought me here? What are you doing to me? Or do we know in our heart of hearts and our souls of souls, do we have that confidence that God loves us deeply, more than we can possibly imagine, really? And whatever we do, wherever we go, he's going to work out his plan, he's going to work out his purpose, so we can grow and we can prosper. Sometimes, of course, we take things to the Lord and we automatically expect the answer to be yes. You know, Lord, I'd like this to happen. I'm pretty sure it's the right thing. And then it comes back as a no. And we say, what? What? But surely this is the right path. Or surely this is the right decision. Or surely this is the right thing. What's going on? You tell me no. And we can treat that as a negative response or a rebuke, maybe, or approval, or whatever it might be. But we need to understand that it's not for us to make that decision. It's God will work out his outcomes. And his outcomes will always be for the best possible plan for us. God is for us. He wants us to have that best life. We've just got to trust him with all of our heart. We've got to leave the decision making to him. What would wonder I happen if every single thing we prayed for, every one of us, always had an answer of yes? I wonder where we'd be. We touched on this briefly last night, funny enough. Would we be happy? Would we be content? I don't know. Would we want more all the time? Are we never going to be content? Is the grass always greener somewhere else? Perhaps we wouldn't understand what it is to grow and prosper because we never had the experience to have that. We never had the circumstance to have that because he's always said yes. Maybe the Lord says no sometimes because it's not the right time or it's not the right circumstance. Perhaps there's something much better just around the corner. But we don't hear any of that. We just hear no. And then we walk away in our own sinful sort of flesh, if you like, in our own worldly thoughts and think, oh, God said no, that must be it. He's washed his hands of me. It means nothing. I'm done. And then we go through these trials and we go through these tribulations and we say, God's washed his hands of me, doesn't want anything to do with me, then, oh, perhaps I should pray. Lord, what's happening? Perhaps I should pray. Perhaps I should bring it back to him. Perhaps I should bring him into my life after all. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. Because God has shown us. We can make the right decisions because God tells us how to. We can do the right things because we ask God to and we pray to God. We trust him to lead us forward. And we can enjoy this life and we can avoid some of the bad bits. If we have that confidence that he will carry us through. Life isn't going to be rosy. It's not always going to be happy. It's not always going to be joyful. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be issues along the way. How we react to those issues is the important thing. Do we understand God loves us? Do we understand God's for us? Do we understand and have that confidence that he will carry us forward? Or are we not sure? Are we unclear? Do we even know the Lord? Do we want to know the Lord? Do we know that even the bumps that we can't see, even the ones that we don't know are coming, the Lord's aware of and the Lord's got a plan for? Do we take the time to find out all the answers we need? Do we take the time to read our Bible? Do we study the verses? Do we apply the verses that come through to our lives? Do we just thumb through, doing our daily devotions, mostly looking the other way, thinking about something else? Because we think it's the right thing to do, because somebody said that's probably what you should do as a Christian. Or do we study the word? Do we take sentence by sentence? What's that mean for me? How does that work in this situation? Do we understand that God will always answer our prayers? Do we understand that God will always carry us forward? Do we have that confidence in God? We may not understand why we're going through situations we're going through, but we know in our heart of hearts, God is in control. God is on the throne. God is moving forward. If you look back last 3 years now, isn't it, almost, right at the start of this, I wonder how many times people thought, why has God let this happen? Why has God sent this disease into the world? Why has God killed off so many people? Why has God shut us all down? Why has God stopped me from seeing people? Why has God stopped people going to school? Why has God stopped people going to work? Why has God done this? Or have we said, Wow, that was an experience. Look how God's brought us through it. Look how God supported us all the way through it. Look how God put people in place to make sure the church remained open. Look how God helped us through to make sure we still saw the people we love. Look how God put us in places where we needed to be. Look how God helped us all the way through the pandemic. Look where God's brought us today. Look where we are. People in the church and people know Bethany. Look over there. That's how God's in control. He's taken a piece of rough ground and he's turned it into, well, Len and his team and the Lord have turned it into a magnificent building that's going to be used for all sorts of different things. None of it's borrowed. None of it's impacted the church in that respect. All of it is of the Lord. So surely if he can provide all of that, if he can bring us through a pandemic, if he can do all the things he's done to bring us to this point, surely God is for us and will never leave us. So let's move into this week with a stronger confidence in God and a much reserved fear to live out his plan and his purpose. Let's apply what he says into our lives, whatever gets thrown at us, whatever life comes up with, and let's overcome whatever we face in his strength. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for this time. Thank you for what you've given us and who you are. Thank you for the love you bring before us and all you feel towards us. Help us, I just pray, that we would be mindful of you in all that we do. You would bring you into our situations. You bring you into our lives. You would bring you at the forefront of the decisions we make. Help us to have that confidence that you will answer us, Lord, but you will answer us in accordance with your will and purpose and not our own. Help us have that confidence that your will and purpose will be the best outcome for us, even if it looks like it's not sometimes, and even if we're not too sure how things are going. Help us, Lord, to have that confidence in you in all that we do, and carry us forward into the week ahead, we pray. Amen. Sing our final hymn, which I believe is Power in the Blood. Amen.
Thank you. Father, thank you for our brother's word to our heart this evening. We dare not be confident in the flesh. Our brother read from the passage that says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is that man whose hope and whose strength the Lord is. And we think, Father, the Apostle Paul, who writes into Philippians, said, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, you saved us. We could not save ourselves. We cannot sanctify ourselves. We can do nothing for you apart from your strength. We pray that we shall be remember the Apostle's words when he said, we are laborers together with God. We don't have to do it on our own, but we thank you that we've been reminded you can be with us in every circumstance of life. We think of the psalmist who said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me, thy right hand will save thee. Though, Lord, thou wilt perfect the work of thine own hands, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Father, you have made us, and you've made us for your glory. And we pray that what we've heard tonight, we shall take to heart and realize that the purpose for which you've made us, you can and will achieve through us if we submit ourselves to you. Yes, as we pray, as we go downstairs, we ask that the sense of your presence that we've known here this evening shall continue with us, whether we go downstairs or to our homes, that we shall remember, as we've been reminded, that you are with us every day, and you will never forsake us. And we ask these things and give you thanks in our Saviour's name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.